First, a Democratic lawsuit against the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission claims that the state's current legislative maps are unfair. The suit is asking a federal court to step in if Governor Tony Evers and the GOP-controlled legislature are unable to redraw legislative maps in a timely manner and wants to set a deadline for maps to be drawn. Republicans have responded by drawing up a plan that would allow them to intervene in that lawsuit. This all comes after lawmakers declined to use maps created by the governor's People's Maps Commission. We're talking now about redistricting, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts about the Democrats' lawsuit over redistricting? Do you think the courts should be involved in drawing our new political maps, or are you hoping to see some kind of compromise between Republican-led legislature, the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor of the state? Call in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School. His research interests include political and election law. Robert, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, all eyes are on new maps being drawn in Wisconsin and everywhere else in the country. Robert, why a lawsuit targeting the existing, the already existing maps?
Well, what happens when new census data is released is that tends to let us know that the districts that we've been using for the past decade are no longer equally populated, which they must be under the federal constitution. And so, you know, every decade there is an obligation for states, for localities to draw new district lines. And this lawsuit, it wants a declaration from a court that indeed the maps that we've been using are unconstitutional. And it's basically, it rests on the premise that that the plaintiffs in this case don't expect the political actors in Wisconsin to actually pass a new map. And so they want to get a federal court started on that work.
Yeah, let's take this a step at a time. We've got the new census data just out now, and that sets the stage for lawmakers to start drawing a map. How is the process, in theory, supposed to work?
So the way that it is supposed to work, by law in Wisconsin, is that the legislature has primary responsibility under the state constitution to draw a new map. It's supposed to redistrict anew after a census. Of course, a census shows not only that the population of Wisconsin grew, but it grew unevenly. And so you now have some districts, especially in areas like Dane County, where you have too many people in the districts that there are now. So the legislature is supposed to set to work once they have produced a map. It goes to the governor for a signature. And that's where, we're expecting some difficulties this time around, because obviously the legislature is controlled by the Republicans in the state and the governor is a Democrat.
What has happened historically in these divided government situations? Lawmakers draw a map, governor doesn't like it and vetoes it. What happens next?
Right. You know, there are plenty of places around the country where actually you have divided government and both sides get together and they've been able to come up with a compromise map. That has not been the case in Wisconsin. Wisconsin had divided government after the 1980 census, the 1990 census, the 2000 census. And every time it did end up being a federal court that drew the new maps. There was an impasse and they just couldn't reach a compromise.
And that's the federal court. And we've seen some lawsuits already coming up. One preemptive one from Republican aligned groups asking the Wisconsin State Supreme Court to be ready to jump in early. Now we've got this Democratic lawsuit. What sorts out if the state court system or the federal court system is the ultimate decider here?
You know, this gets a bit tricky. Essentially, somebody needs to step up. And so... Ideally, I think there's a notion that it should be the political actors who do it. And federal courts really want to just be a backstop. And so the federal courts might see, do we think that there's a chance of a political compromise here? If not, does it look like maybe the Wisconsin state courts will act in an expeditious way? If so, then the federal court might sit back, right, and see if the state courts will take action. But historically, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has been a little bit reticent to get involved in districting cases. And that's why in those previous decades, in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, it did end up being a federal court rather than a state court that did the job. But if our state courts really started moving quickly and there was interest at the state Supreme Court to hear this suit, this could end up being resolved by the state courts rather than the federal ones.
Now, one eventuality, and this is, I think, think, at the heart of this new lawsuit that started our conversation. What if nobody decides? Lawmakers pass their thing. Governor vetoes it. It's tied up in courts. All of a sudden, it's election day. Spring nonpartisan elections or November partisan elections in 2022. What happens if no new map has been drawn by those election days?
Right. You know, this thankfully is rare. I mean, once it does fall to a federal court, the federal courts have been pretty good about respecting those deadlines and getting the job done. So, you know, in Wisconsin, really, some of the key deadlines are in April. That's the time when candidates in the 2022 election can start circulating ballot petitions. Those ballot petitions have to be filed by the beginning of June. And so the federal court is going to be well aware that something needs to get done by maybe probably, you know, March, the beginning of April at the very latest. Now, if somehow that didn't happen, then they may just say, look, for one more election, we're going to require you to use the old map, even though the old map now contains these unequally populated districts, just because there literally would be no alternative at that point.
We're talking to Robert Yablon, associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School, looking at how we draw our political maps here in Wisconsin, the redistricting process, new lawsuits, probably not the last lawsuits this time around. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Richard is with us in Rock County. Richard, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Richard?
Well, I would like to see someone who is not beholden to any particular political party, and I know that's difficult, but anyone that holds a political office right now should not be involved in making this. And I would hope that they would think more seriously about the Iowa plan that they use to set up there so that we don't have all the gerrymandering.
Richard, thanks a lot for the call. Robert, can you talk about what other states have done to try to have a less partisan lean when it comes to drawing these lines?
Sure. You know, there are a number of states now, a growing number of states, that have begun to take redistricting out of the hands of partisan actors and instead put it in the hands of folks who are meant to be a little bit more politically insulated and nonpartisan. In Iowa, they've had one of the longest established practices here, and they have nonpartisan civil servants who do the line drawing, and they do that without any political data. And there are a lot of reformers who like the Iowa system. You know, more recently, there are a number of states who have created independent commissions that are selected in various ways, and they are supposed to, again, work without reference to the political data that the legislators are often driven by when they make the maps. We haven't moved in that direction in Wisconsin, partly because we don't have a direct democracy mechanism. That's often been the way that this has happened in states. And, you know, the legislature is, for unsurprising reasons, reluctant to give up the authority that it now has to redistrict.
Richard, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Charlie in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I believe strongly in effective and limited government, and gerrymandering, it promotes the exact opposite. No matter what side of the divide you're on, by gerrymandering, you promote the election in the districts of the extremists of both parties. We need bipartisan compromising going on, and that can only be happening with fair and accurate districting and drawing the maps correctly, not so that it's gerrymandered. And I would like your guest to comment on how to get effective government with a correct districting in the, after the census.
Charlie, thanks a lot for that call. And Robert, that's a common criticism of gerrymandered district lines, that if you've got a sure thing Republican district, you're going to get maybe the most conservative Republicans. Same on the other side for liberal Democrats. Can you talk about that a little?
Sure. I mean, I think the caller is identifying a real phenomenon out there. There's a lot of evidence to back it up, and it just makes intuitive sense that you have these dysfunctional political dynamics that arise when you get gerrymandering. And so there's a real unfairness to it. There are accountability problems that gerrymandering creates. That's one of the reasons why there has been pressure in so many states to move to other systems. You know, how could that happen in Wisconsin? I think that's one of the questions that the caller is getting at. There is no great mechanism to move from here to there in the state. You know, if it comes, it's going to have to come through political pressure and compromise. And the reality is that, gerrymandering is much more salient as a political issue than it was a decade ago. And with the kind of light that's being shined on the practice, that is going to mean that there are more political costs to doing it and more people that are going to propose alternatives. The governor, for example, has said that he wants the legislature to pass a law that would shift authority to a commission. And the governor himself has created what is meant to be a nonpartisan commission to propose a map for the state legislature and for Congress. But of course, the legislature is under no obligation to accept what the governor's People's Maps Commission is coming up.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We're talking to Robert Yablon, associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School. He's talking to us about lawsuits over redistricting here in Wisconsin. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think would be the most fair way to draw our election maps here in the state? What do you want to know about the redistricting process in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. Is this an issue you've been active in? Going to meetings, lobbying politicians, calling your lawmaker? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with UW-Madison Law School Associate Professor Robert Yablon about a lawsuit over Wisconsin's legislative maps and the redistricting season. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now with Harry in Rochester. Harry, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I find it sad that our elected officials refuse to do their job. We have systems in place, and these elected officials just fight and get nothing done. And what we need to do as citizens is elect different people. If they refuse to do their job, vote for somebody else. Get them out of office. Thank you.
Harry, thanks a lot for the call. The tall order there, Robert, as at least in theory, is with these gerrymandered districts, a lot of lawmakers are in safe seats, and it can be tough to change the representation there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what gerrymandering is meant to accomplish. It may be unpopular, but if it stacks the deck sufficiently in favor of the people who are doing it, they can withstand that unpopularity.
Thanks a lot for that call. Is there, you've mentioned other states where, Robert, isn't this independent commission, but you've seen lawmakers from different parties or, Republican legislature, Democratic governor, whatever the case might be, actually work together. Is there some sort of systemic thing that they have and we don't, or do they just play better together?
It may be a little bit more of the latter. I don't know that there are particular systems that they have that we don't that have made it happen, but it may just be more of a culture of compromise. In this state, in 2011, the map that was created was a map that was substantially tilted in favor of the Republicans. That's what a federal court found in litigation, in the partisan gerrymandering litigation that was brought against the map. And so, understandably, from the legislature's perspective, that's not something that they're willing to give up. And understandably, from the governor's perspective, that's not something that he wants to sign off on. And so, that's when you get the likelihood of an impasse.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Bill with us in Gills Rock. Bill, hi.
Hey, thank you. This should not be a partisan issue, just like COVID, but it is, unfortunately. Anyone who's against having a bipartisan commission select these districts is really against democracy. So earlier your guest said that the legislature doesn't want to give up its power. It's really the Republicans in the legislature that don't want to give up their power. The Democrats are all for a nonpartisan or bipartisan commission, which is a fair way, a democratic way to do this. So I just think we should call that out.
Bill, thanks for the call. Robert, what do you think?
Well, there's no question that that is the dynamic in Wisconsin, right? I mean, we are dealing right now with a Republican gerrymander. The map that was drawn in 2011 was drawn by the Republicans signed off by Republican Governor Scott Walker. And so, yes, in Wisconsin right now, that's what we're dealing with. Now, it's I think, not fair to say that across the country, it's uniformly Republicans. There have been instances in which Democrats have gerrymandered when they've had the chance. But I think that by and large right now, if you look at things like congressional legislation that's being pushed, the Democrats are more likely than the Republicans at this moment to be pushing for these sorts of independent commissions and nonpartisan systems for redistricting.
Thanks for that call. And I dimly remember election reformers 10 years ago or so, or 12 years ago, being frustrated with Democrats who controlled the governor's office, the legislature in 2008 after the Obama election, and they swept Wisconsin. 2 years there where they controlled everything and didn't make a change, and obviously rued that after everything switched in 2010.
Sure. You know, when you're in charge, again, no matter who you are, it really does take a special sort of politician to be willing to give up that authority.
Let's go back to our callers now. David is with us in Ironwood, Michigan. David, hello.
A simple way to settle this all. It should require a 70% vote to pass any new redistricting. And that was ended. That will force the Democrats and Republicans to actually get together and get decent districts.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Robert, so a big supermajority, he's saying, in the legislature to pass new maps. Again, the legislature would have to vote to make that change.
So that's correct. There are some states that do have supermajority mm-hmm. requirements, and the theory behind it is sound. It makes it more likely that, the only way to pass something would be if there was bipartisan compromise. The potential downside is it makes an impasse that much more likely. If it's hard sometimes to get 50% of representatives on board, it's that much harder to get 70% on board. And so you might ultimately make it more likely in that scenario that the task would fall to the courts.
Thanks a lot for the call, David. Dennis joins us now in Two Rivers. Dennis, hello.
Hi. A big problem is whether it's individuals or parties, there's so much prejudice that if somebody unpopular comes up with an idea, it's totally disregarded no matter what the idea is. Just like, for instance, I don't like Donald Trump, but I know Donald Trump had some good ideas.
Dennis, thanks for the call. And Robert, is that at the heart of the dysfunction here, the polarization that's making it hard to compromise on redistricting or insert issue here?
Right. I mean, polarization is an important part of this story, and polarization is both a cause and effect here. You know, polarization is one of the reasons why the Republicans in Wisconsin, Democrats in some other places so strongly want to gerrymander things in their favor. You know, they don't trust the other side to govern, and they don't want to work with the other side. And then once that happens, once there's a gerrymander in place, that can make the polarization that much worse. So it really can be a vicious cycle that we end up in.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about redistricting in Wisconsin, lawsuits related to redistricting. Robert Yablon is with us from the UW-Madison Law School. Back to your calls now with Walter in Fort Atkinson. Walter, hi.
Good afternoon. So here's my pitch. I would propose that an outside group draw maps on census data that's going to be available that are close to equal between Republicans and Democrats. And we know that's possible, and have those maps ready to go so that when the courts throw up their hands and get sick of the maps that they are forced to look at, they have this alternative. And the benefit of having equal sides is that the partisan politicians are forced to get some of their votes from the other side, and it makes everybody move toward the middle.
Walter, thanks a lot for the call. Walter's second point, echoing Charlie earlier there, Robert, but for his first point, is that in effect what Governor Evers is trying to do with that people's map effort?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that part of the idea behind the People's Maps Commission was to get a nonpartisan alternative out there, and not just a nonpartisan alternative in substance, but also one in process. And so I think the governor wanted to create a contrast with the open, transparent process that this People's Maps Commission is going to follow and what he expects we're likely to see from the legislature. And, I would say I think that there are a number of advocacy groups out in Wisconsin right now, both partisan and nonpartisan, bipartisan, who are hard at work trying to put so that they will be able to submit to the court in this litigation and any other cases that arise and make the case of their map, which may well include competitiveness as one of the important criteria driving the line drawing decisions, that their map should be the one that the court chooses.
Walter, thanks for that call. Nancy joins us next in Wausau. Nancy, hi.
Yes, I just wanted to say, you know, what the effects of a highly gerrymandered district are. I ran for assembly several times, and the district I run in is, it looks like a salamander on the map, and it was specifically cut out to put a certain assembly person in there, and no matter what I did, including out fundraising this person, the outcomes were never any better than a 60-40. There was nothing you could do to make that any better.
Nancy, thanks a lot for sharing that story and the salamander, the animal that gave its name to gerrymandering in the first place. Robert, in just our last minute, we look at maps and see these weird shapes and they look unfair, but it's been hard to define what a fair map is. Republicans say, hey, wait a minute, Democrats are concentrated in big cities, so it's, you really have to contort things to make it even. Is it possible to really draw fair maps?
It's a great question, and it's a hard question. And that's one of the reasons why the Supreme Court ultimately decided that it didn't want to get involved with trying to rein in partisan gerrymandering at all. It felt like it was too difficult to establish what the right map is supposed to look like. Now, I do think that even if you can't identify an ideal map, you can identify the ones that are extreme gerrymanders, right? You can sort out the worst from better ones. And what are some of the better ones? Well, some of the better ones are ones that at least try to strike a reasonable balance between what we would think of as traditional redistricting criteria. And some of those criteria are in tension with each other, and they include the idea that you want to keep local communities together, want to have districts that are reasonably compact. And sometimes that might mean that you have somewhat fewer districts that are competitive, and so you might want to balance competitiveness in there. But of course, you know, when partisanship is your main criteria, you're not really doing any of those things that the districters really legitimately ought to be thinking about when they're drawing the lines.
Thanks again for that call. And Robert, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to do it. Glad to be with you.
That's Robert Yablon, associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School. His research interests include political and election law. We've been talking about redistricting season here in Wisconsin. Coming up after the news, it's Food Friday. We'll get some ideas on how to use all those tomatoes popping up in gardens around the state. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.